You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, after securing more than $200 million in federal and provincial funding, Prince Rupert is set to embark on the largest single infrastructure investment since its inception more than 100 years ago. $200 million may sound like a lot, but it only covers about a third of the infrastructure gap the city will need to fill over the next decade. More than $450 million is still needed to complete a major overhaul of critical infrastructure in the small port city of about 12,000 people. But Rupert has been steadily growing over the past decade, both in population and economic growth, with the most recent port expansion a few years back. The Port of Prince Rupert is now the fastest growing port in the country and the third largest in terms of shipping volume next to Vancouver and Montreal, something the federal and provincial governments are finally taking notice of. As we've done on this program before, we'll speak with Prince Rupert Mayor Herb Hahn today about what the future holds for Rupert, how disruptive replacing the 100-year-old water system is going to be over the next few years, and why the city is levying yet another tax increase in 2024. Stay with us.
My name's Herb Pond. I'm the mayor of Prince Rupert, and we're sitting in my office right now.
Great, Herb. Nice to see you here. And, yeah. You know, it's not a bad day on a Monday in Prince Rupert. I want to chat with you today. Obviously, as I mentioned, we're looking at budget season. And tonight, council has a couple of things coming up on the docket, looking at the five-year financial plan, updates to that, amendments, and then also what people can expect for their taxes this coming year in 2024. Maybe let's take a look at the five-year financial plan. So what is changing with the five-year financial plan here in Rupert?
So just on a process thing, you know, back in the fall, we did the budget for this year. And yet now you come into this time of year, it's when you fine-tune things and it's when you actually know what your assessment is so you can get hard, solid numbers on what taxes will be. I appreciate that sometimes for people it's very difficult because we're talking in November about tax increases and now we come again at the same time, you know, every year and how we have to do this for statutory reasons. Anyway, we will be looking at, as we planned in the fall, we will be looking at a 7.7% tax increase, mm-hmm. More than any council ever wants to implement. Unfortunately, we're well within the norm. If you sort of look at municipalities across British Columbia, the impacts of inflation have been substantial. Yeah. If we back away now, we risk not completing the work that we've worked so hard to set out to do. So quite apart from the 7.7% increase, we've, of course, managed to raise a huge amount of money. And so that shows up in the budget as well. And I find it difficult, I'm sure the public finds it difficult, as I read through the budget, trying to separate out that spending on the huge infrastructure program, mm-hmm. which gets sort of interlaced between everything, and the normal operating budget of the city of Prince Rupert. So if you look at the fine-tuning that's been done, it's really a case of moving the money around to say, oh, that fire truck that we ordered, we thought we were going to pay for this year. Oh, it's not coming this year. It's coming next year. Mm-hmm. We can defer that payment. Oh, the roof on the Leicester Center is more serious than it first appeared. We can pull some money over and put it over there. And if you read through, you can see those shifts in spending on capital items. But at the end of the day, when you total it all up, and one of the little pleasant surprises was what they call non-market taxation assessment, is is what happens when new buildings get built.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we have some new buildings coming onto the tax roll. Mm-hmm. I think the number totals to about $700,000 of potential taxes that we now don't have to increase anybody else's tax for. So all of that is to say the 7.7 that we planned for back in the fall is actually what will be laid in front of council at the meeting tonight.
I know that a meeting last month around, you know, some of the infrastructure issues and what's going to be coming, you know, there was a lot of discussion about that council was unaware how bad it really was. And now it looks like more money needs to be put away to ensure that that infrastructure deficit doesn't grow. Where does that kind of play into some of this?
Well, I think for starters, the infrastructure will always be worse than everybody thought. I mean, there's just the reality of when you look at it. You hope it's going to be whatever. But the overall scope of things, if you take away the money that we're going to be spending, nearly $200 million over the next 3 years, and deal with the worst of our water pipes and realigning some sewer, we still have an infrastructure deficit that's in the $450 million plus range. And that's just all the things that we own as a city that are old.
Yeah.
And you know, as you came into this building, we talked about mm-hmm. this beautiful building, but it's old. And that number doesn't yet include our recreational properties. And so we just know that as we work away at things, there's still a massive deficit to overcome. We know that to fund that, we're probably short about $20 million a year of revenue, mm-hmm. somewhere in that ballpark. We've got plans we can see a path towards getting that without having massive increases on existing taxpayers. But everything has to work. And so far it has. So, you know, we've landed the RBA. Yeah. That will be a substantial dent in ongoing funding. It's only 5 years. But we believe that if we show the province some real fiscal discipline around that RBA money, renegotiating a 5 or 10 or 20 year deal won't be difficult.
You know, this is obviously not on top of, you know, services that also see increases, you know, the pool, recreation, you know, sewer and garbage pickup, all those types of things. You know, how does council go by about balancing, you know, that, making sure that the high rates don't kind of, you know, tap people out completely, and also kind of keep things relatively affordable?
Yeah, it's a massive challenge. I mean, every council would love to be the council that either has 0% increases or even better still gives a little back.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd love to be that council. But the other side of that coin is, if you are too nice too often, and I use nice as a relative word, you just delay for a future council mm-hmm. the pain. Mm-hmm. And we're living through some of that. The fact is that it costs a certain amount of money to replace any piece of sewer pipe or road or street light or buy a new fire truck. And if you aren't sort of keeping up with things, you're only creating a bigger bill down the road. Mm-hmm. Our commitment is that we will be the council that gets us back on top of things and that is exercising the fiscal discipline so that we never get behind the eight ball again.
Yeah.
And the number that comes out the end in terms of taxation is just pure math. And so in this case, we need 7.7. I could come forward and say, well, we'll only do 5 and or we'll only do 2. But I'd be leaving something undone that needs to be done. And so I'm in it to make sure that we get on top of it and that we have a sustainable city in the long run. And in fact, now every government grant you apply for actually has one of its requirements is, how are you going to maintain this? Where's the money coming from? So if we're going to build a new whatever, a new ice rink, the province won't fund it unless they see that you can actually have the discipline to set aside the money to replace it.
Yeah, to cover the operating budget.
Cover the operating and set aside money for replacement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because every asset has a certain life, right?
Indeed. Speaking of some of those assets, and you mentioned that they're $200 million waiting to be spent to replace some of the worst of the pipes, water infrastructure here in Prince Rupert. Obviously, there's a lot of anticipation of seeing this very disruptive work that it's going to be begin this year. But also at the end of it, and I know you've mentioned this many times, obviously the city will be better for it and set up for many years down the road. Where are things at with that right now? I noticed there was some prep happening, but where are things at? When can people expect to see that the road starting to come up?
Well, so it's actually happening now. It's just happening in the least disruptive place, and that is the Shawantlands Road. So the highway bypass, if you will, that runs from the auto wrecking yard down to the industrial park is closed. We're digging in there. We're doing the work, and we're getting ready for the pipe replacement that runs from where it comes up out of the water in the industrial park all the way up to in the center of Crestview. It's called Montreal Circle, where the reservoirs are. Mm-hmm. And so that piece we can get at quite easily. It doesn't disrupt a lot of people's movements. So we're doing that now as we speak. We are working on the engineering and the planning for the other pieces, the other corridors. And I think that's the piece that people are, certainly when I'm talking to people, most anticipating is, when are we going to know if our street's on the list, and if our street's on the list, when, right? And that's being worked on right now. We're hoping in the next month or two we'll be able to roll out a better idea for people so that they can get some planning going in their own life. As I tell people all the time, you've heard me say it, that piece will be disruptive. There is no way to dig up a street's water pipes and not cause a lot of pain on that street or that block. Mm-hmm. And so get ready for it. As soon as we know, we will let you know. It's a funny, like if you look at the map of the worst pieces of pipe, it's scattered all over the city. It doesn't make, it's sort of not a logical continuity to it, because we've had a blowout here, we've had a blowout there, we've gone and fixed an entire block when that blew out, so that's okay. Yeah. But on either side of that is a section that still needs to be done, right? And so it's gonna, and if people think back to McBride Street and the number of blowouts we've had over the last few years, we've replaced different sections of McBride in each of those successive pieces. So you know, if people think about that, they'll get a picture of how fragmented that map is. We'll be hopefully before summer or in early summer being able to communicate more with more detail to people in terms of when we're coming to your neighborhood.
Just one other thing on that. I noticed, you know, we're gonna have the first cruise ship in town this week, and that over the course of the summer months, we're gonna see about, you know, almost 60,000 people come through here, passengers from cruise ships. You know, how is the city anticipating that kind of strain on that type of water infrastructure while this is all going on?
There's not a tremendous amount of additional impact from the cruise ship being here on the water system itself. The bigger concern I have, and I know it's shared by a lot of people in the community, is we're still very much a community in transition. And we're not all proud of every part of our downtown core. And I wish it was different. I wish that we were 4 and 5 years down the road. I believe that 4 and 5 years down the road, you're going to see substantial change in the downtown core. We're seeing some early first shoots of that with the RCMP building, which will be completed hopefully midsummer. Hopefully the credit union will do something with its corner there. We're seeing the ILWU hall coming out of the ground. So there are some changes coming, but not enough. And so what we lack in our sort of physical presence, we have to make up for in terms of product and tours and the trolley tours. And I know that the Global Ports people, Kevin DaCosta and his group, and a lot working closely with Tourism Prince Rupert and the Port of Prince Rupert, are putting on more product this summer than there was last summer. So the initial feedback that we got last year was extremely positive. We just need to continue to step up so that the challenge is not for the people that take the tours. The challenge is for the people that just choose to wander around. And you know, we're going to be better every year. But we've still got a long ways to go.
Yeah. Just the last thing for you, Mayor Pond, and on top of some of this, you know, as we've spoken many times, there are, you know, quite a few of these infrastructure issues that, you know, are well behind, that are slowly getting dealt with. But on the same note, you know, Prince Rupert has seen this massive growth in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And to the point where it's now the third largest port in Canada, which is no small thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I wonder, you know, with your discussions with higher levels of government, you know, do they realize what is needed here? And are they willing to make these continued investments to see this community and this port grow? Because it looks like it's quite vital to a lot of, especially the economy and shipping in Canada right now.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the case we make. I mean, very clearly the, you know, the 65,000 or 65 million that came from the premier and for the water pipes, the 77 million that came from the federal government for the water pipes, that didn't come because, you know, I have a winning smile and I can persuade people. It came because we could make that case, the very case that you outlined. If you spend any time around Prince Rupert, what you witness is the Canadian economy in action, right? You see containers that are going all over Canada or coming from all over Canada. You see prairie grain, you see lumber products from across the province and across Alberta. It's our coal is coming from other parts of the province. This port enables all kinds of parts of the British Columbia and Canadian economy to be unlocked. And so we punch way above our weight when it comes to that. And yet, at the same time, we're a little town of 12,000, few hundred people. When we are talking to senior levels of government, they pretty much get it. If they don't get it, we help them get it really quickly. That they can't close their eyes and just assume that the housing or the healthcare or the education or whatever else it's going to take to support that port infrastructure is going to be in place the way it might be in a Vancouver or Montreal, which are one and two, right? We will continue to make that case. I think the money that we've received to date speaks volumes about how much they understand the issue. And yet at the same time, we can't stop making that case. As you know, we've experienced some closures of the emergency room here in Prince Rupert. We immediately got to senior levels of government and said, look, and Canada's number three port and fastest growing port can't have emergency room closures at its hospital, right? You have to make this a priority. And we will continue to do that. I'm convinced that they get it. They just sometimes need to be reminded that it's not just about the water pipes. It's about every single aspect of life in Prince Rupert. And we're going to keep making the case, and I'm convinced that's going to bear fruit. We're going to see population growth that comes with those expanding opportunities, and yet to get that population growth, we need the housing, we need the healthcare, we need the education, we need all of those pieces for the whole thing to work.
Okay. Mayor Pond, we'll leave it there for now.
Excellent.
But I'm sure these conversations will continue.
I love it. You know, I'd talk about this 24/7 if you let me.
That was Mayor of Prince Rupert, Herb Pond. Over the coming weeks and months, we'll explore more intricacies of Prince Rupert and other coastal communities as activity continues to grow in the region. From green neighborhoods and kelp farming projects to LNG and shipping expansions, the north coast of BC is experiencing a period of hustle and bustle it hasn't seen in years. Stay tuned to CICK News this summer to hear dispatches from the City of Rainbows. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.